Our second reading from God's holy word for this day comes to us out of those semi-continuous readings we've been doing out of the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. We remember that last week, Jesus went into the synagogue, his hometown at Capernaum, and he went in there and he taught. And in his teaching, he showed great authority to those that were gathered in this place. Here we continue on immediately after that. He is now traveling out farther in Capernaum, and we hear this next part of what it is that he does. Let us listen for God's word as it comes to us now. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Come." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Here in the readings from God's holy word for this day. And to God's name be all glory and praise, now and forever. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse our thoughts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. So I just want to start out with a question. I want to see how many of us here have had a perfect life. Oh, no problems, everything going smoothly, no despair. Okay, you're not really responding to that, so let me ask you a different question. How many of us have had some pain, some disappointment? How many of us have had brokenness or gotten stuck on something that's so unfair and makes us so angry we talk about it for months, maybe even for years? But we're the chosen ones of God, right? In fact, we're actually fairly exclusive chosen ones right here, because we're not just chosen, we are the frozen chosen. Yeah. We're Presbyterian. We not only do everything decently and in order, we are refined, we're restrained, we balance our order and ardor, we don't roll in the aisles or fall over when the pastor lays hands on us. We don't fall over slain in the spirit. We just don't do those kinds of things. We know how to carry our chosenness. Yet don't we all? At one moment or other in our lives, harbor some resentment when things aren't going right. God, why me? After all, we are the chosen ones of God. And doesn't being chosen mean that there's special privilege attached to that somehow? Isn't that what it's about? Well, what does Isaiah tell us about this? Because Isaiah is talking to the chosen of God. The Jews have understood themselves to be the chosen of God ever since they came out of Egypt with Moses. The elect of Israel, they're really the Presbyterians of the 6th century B.C. These middle-class folks, doctors, lawyers, merchants, chiefs, teachers, and they've all been carried off into slavery as part of Jerusalem losing a very long war. That's that time known as the Babylonian exile that lasts for almost 50 years. And they are living far, far north of their homeland. They're planting crops, they're weeding gardens, they're hauling water, they're working in quarries. In short, they're doing work as slaves that they would not necessarily have done in their former lives. And they're angry and confused. They're angry and confused about this sense of degradation and the lack of protection that they are experiencing. Psalm 137 really records the angst of the people of Israel when they're in Babylon. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept. When we remembered Zion, on the willows there we hung up our hearts. For there our captors asked of us songs, goaded us to sing songs of celebration about what no longer exists, songs about what our captors destroyed. And we refused to sing, for how can we sing the Lord's song when we are so very far from home? And Isaiah here, chapter 40 and beyond, steps into that breach of despair and says, let's take these lemons and make lemonade out of them instead. Let's get a grip on ourselves. We were never promised a perfect life just because God has chosen us. What we're promised is God's faithfulness. Who, after all, is making the promise? Who exactly is this God? God cannot be compared to anyone. God has no equal. How do we know this? Well, who creates the world? Who sustains it? Don't you know? Isaiah says, have you not seen? Why do you keep on chanting that your way, your daily activities are hidden from the Lord, that God knows, pays no attention to the condition you find yourself in? Don't you know? Of course you know. Haven't you heard? Of course you have heard. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The Lord does not grow weary, does not grow faint, but gives power to the faint, strengthens the powerless. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We shall mount up with wings like eagles. Life and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Risen with healing in his wings. No matter what it is that we might need, no matter what emotional, spiritual, psychological healing we need, God can heal it and heal it all. If we think that's not true, just have a conversation with someone you know that's been in AA and stayed in it through thick and thin, not only for the stories of broken despair when they were spiraling down, but for the constant, sustaining, healing power that God gives them every moment. There are many, many kinds of healing God gives us. And the final gift of healing God offers is the gift of the death of our bodies. This is what Mark is showing us as well this morning, as he tells us about Jesus' very earliest ministry. Because we remember last week how when Jesus steps into the synagogue in Capernaum, he shows his authority in teaching right then and there and in healing. And now as he goes out of the synagogue and farther into the town, goes into Simon Peter's house, he shows that there are no limits on his capacity to heal. As he's there in Simon's house in Capernaum, they bring him all all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Jesus heals everyone who comes to him and asks for healing. So Jesus is always serving. So much so, we see this even here at the very beginning of his ministry, that he gets up at dark 30 in the morning to sneak out and have a little time alone with God. Did you notice anything peculiar about this prayer time? Other than the time of day, for those of us that can't imagine peeling our eyes open before the sun is up. Did you notice anything else? Mark packs so much into just a short story. Jesus is out praying while he's at the very top of his game. Everyone's impressed with him. They are astonished at his teaching, at his authority, his accessibility, the hope he offers. Jesus is at the very top of his game, and yet, out of that strength, he takes time to pray. He especially takes time to pray, to sneak off and be refueled. He doesn't wait until he's weary or he's drained down. He looks for help when he is strong. Jesus knows the answer that his ancestors in the faith so long to discover. As Frederick Buechner says it so well when he's talking about this issue of being chosen, he says that when Israel asked the question, why God elected, why God chose them, of all people, they arrived at two main answers. One answer was that God elected them for special privilege, but the tragic course of their own history soon disabused them of that. The other answer was that he elected them for terrible responsibility, raises them up to serve. Jesus sneaks off to pray alone early in the morning because he understands he is chosen for terrible responsibility, and he seeks to be rooted and grounded in taking the responsibility of being raised up to serve. Jesus seeks to be rooted and grounded in his service in the Lord. That same one Isaiah talks about, the one who creates the heavens and the earth and names the stars, and promises that those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What gifts we do receive in living into God's claim on us. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.